Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Historic Preservation Pavilion here at Car Talk
Historic
Plaza.
Historic Preservation Pavilion.
Well, we received in the mail recently two very interesting and products of historic proportion. At least one of them is. We've referred to this one many times on the show.
I mean, it's an urban legend, this stuff.
It is.
I mean, it's one of those things that you don't even know if it really ever existed. It's sort of like Atlantis. I mean, people keep talking about it, but no one's ever actually seen it. And here it is, a spray can of Cosmoline.
Oh, my God.
Cosmoline exists. Here
Cosmoline
it is.
Does exist.
I'll
of course,
hold it up to the microphone.
This is the stuff of legend. It was reported that there were thousands of U.S. Army surplus Jeeps that were for sale. I remember when I was a kid, they were 50 bucks a
piece. Always 50 bucks.
Yeah, and they were packed in Cosmoline. Packed in $300 worth of Cosmoline to preserve them, so no matter what happened to them.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't even pack them in $50 worth of Cosmoline. Well, where did that story ever come from?
Well, it may have come from Houghton International, which is the maker of Cosmoline.
And they still make the stuff, and they even got it in a spray can.
These cans are from World War II. No, they still make it, and it contains, I suppose I can divulge.
There's a reference here to Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Anyway, the stuff contains three very interesting ingredients, which I will share with you.
Yeah.
Stoddard solvent.
Oh, don't you love it?
We don't have to go any farther. Hexylene glycol.
See, we could figure that out.
Which is what gives it that greasy feel.
Yeah.
And 1,2,4-trimethylbenzene. Which is what makes it toxic.
I could even draw the Fisher diagram for that.
You could.
I'm sure you could. I mean, when you've taken organic chemistry as many times as I have, trying to pass it. Wow.
And so, obviously the stuff is a preservative, and I thought that I would try a small little test.
Yeah.
So I decided to see if I didn't want to try to preserve the entire dart. Because I thought it would be too much of an undertaking for this one little can. So I thought I'd try, like, the driver's seat. So before the show started, I didn't do the whole seat. I just did the back of it.
Oh.
So you won't get your pants wet.
But, yeah?
Don't worry. It looks beautiful.
Well, you'd be happy to know that I also did a test. You know that orange soda you're drinking?
Yeah.
How's it taste? I'm just trying to find out if the stuff
tastes a little like trimethylbenzene, actually.
I'm trying to find out if the stuff is poisonous. I put a little in just before the show.
Look, if you want to talk to us about preserving your car, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK.
Or preserving this show. You might want to preserve this show. The number to call.
1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jill from Burlington, North Carolina.
Jill.
Hi,
Burlington, North Carolina.
It's about a half an hour from Chapel Hill. It's in the middle of basketball country.
Cool.
Yeah.
And why are you calling us?
My car has started to sound like Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
Yeah, ooh. Like
which version? The Gene Wilder one?
More like the Gene Wilder one. The Dr. Frankenstein.
Dr. Frankenstein.
Yeah, Frankenstein. Oh, so it sounds like that Frankenstein.
Yeah, I put it in gear and it goes, and then I do that through first, second, third, it's okay. And then once I hit 35, it seems to go away.
What kind of a car is it?
1992 Honda Civic.
And this happens as you're moving?
I hear it as I start to press on the gas.
But if you're just sitting there at a traffic light, you don't hear it?
No, not very much. I hear a little bit of a rattle under the front right side of the car.
Oh, you do? Do you?
And you think this rattle is another incarnation of the same noise or a different noise?
I don't know. The car seems to be falling apart, so I really can't tell which noises are related to
each other. Okay. Plenty of noises. But then when you do step on the gas and you start to move...
Well, go back a step. How about when you step on the clutch? Do you hear any change?
No, it seems to go away when I step on the clutch.
Oh.
When I step on the clutch and put it in neutral, it seems to go away.
A very telling answer.
Yes, it is.
And you're not going to be happy with what we say. So
she may be happy.
We may just well hang up now.
she may be happy.
You think so?
She's looking for an excuse to buy a new car.
Yeah, how close are you financially to buying a new car?
My boss tells me that I need a new car every day, and I tell him that he should make it easy for me to get a new car.
Yeah, he should.
I'm pretty far away.
Yeah, well, what's wrong, unfortunately, and the reason the noise goes away when you step on the clutch is that the transmission is making noise. You see, the reason you hear it in the lower gears is because when you get into higher gear, you're not meshing any, you don't hear it in fourth because you're not meshing any gears in fourth gear.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth gear, the power is just going right from the engine right out to the wheels. In fifth gear, you're actually meshing gears, so the noise probably comes back in fifth.
But you're going so fast, you don't notice
it. The car's making too many other
noises. Exactly. By that time, it's
so you'll
hopeless.
Hear it in first, second, and third, and it goes away as soon as you step on the clutch because the transmission stops turning when you step on the clutch.
So I need a new transmission.
I need a new transmission, which translates into...
You need a new car.
You need a new car.
I mean, for 99.9% of the people in the world, it would simply mean nothing. It would just be, you got a noise, and just keep driving.
Yeah, how many other noises do you have? Maybe we can rank them. I mean, this might be like number four
there's
noise.
There's a rattle, there's a snap. I might have a vampire in the back. I got Frankenstein in the front.
Frankenstein in the front, a vampire in the back, a rattle, a snap.
You have crackles and pops. I mean, the transmission in and of itself is not a reason to get rid of the car.
No.
It could go on making this noise forever.
Oh.
You might want to take the step, however, of having someone check to see if there's any oil in the transmission.
That would be good.
Okay.
Yeah.
My guess is there isn't.
And it could well be that if you just put some oil in it.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, the noise is never going to go away, but you'll keep the transmission from melting.
That would be important.
That would be important.
If you have
yeah.
to drive it for the next few months or years.
You might have years.
Oh, goody.
Yeah, goody. Just what you wanted to hear.
Just what you wanted to hear. So tell your boss, forget about the raise. I don't need it. Wouldn't that knock his socks off?
I'll try that right this minute.
Yeah, right. See you later.
Thanks. Bye.
1-888.
Forget about that raise.
Have you ever done that?
No.
No. 1-888 Car Talk. We should try it on Berman. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Next time, yes, we'll have to say, oh, no, you'll have to forget about that raise, right?
You don't need it.
You don't need it.
Yeah.
He knows.
He knows he doesn't need it.
He may be the most overpaid person in public radio.
No, we are.
Oh, yeah. Hello, you're on Car Talk. No, but we're not a person. We're two people. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Craig in San Pedro.
Hey.
San Pedro, California.
San Pedro, California.
Where are you really from, Craig? Tell us the truth, man.
Chicago, originally.
Aha! Okay.
But I also spend time in Philadelphia, so maybe it's my Philadelphia accent.
It's Philadelphia that I'm hearing.
Oh, you sound like one of them Philadelphia lawyers.
So what's up, man?
Well, I recently moved to Southern California, and... By, I don't know, dint of necessity, I wanted to combine a passenger car, creature comforts, with the utility of a work truck. So I bought a minivan. So my question for you is, how do I make this thing more sexy?
Give it up and join a monastery, dude. Well, I mean, you're in California.
Yeah,
I know. So, I mean, I suppose you could, like, paint flowers all over it.
Well, that's what I do for a living.
You're a painter?
Yeah, painter. I paint murals and...
I rest my case. You can do this for nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, how else are you going to do it? I mean, a minivan is the most sexless vehicle there is.
Yeah, I know. Like, a guy in a minivan, you just assume that his voice is already high.
No, we wanted to have our cat neutered. We didn't even take him to the vet. We took him around the minivan for a couple of blocks, and he was all done.
Took two blocks,
yeah,
huh?
I see a guy in a minivan.
Wait to get out. But yeah. I agree with my brother. I think you should paint your own truck.
Let's figure out what to paint on it.
Yeah, I don't.
What kind of a woman are you?
How about a big sign that says "I'm desperate"?
Lack subtlety.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like "beautiful, sexy woman" or "best offer."
What kind of a babe are you trying to land?
Well, like you said, you know, I'm not being that particular.
An artistic type.
Yeah, of course.
Long walks on the beach.
Well, if need be, yeah.
Sunsets.
Pina colada.
Yeah.
He's in California. I mean, anything
yeah, really,
could happen.
I mean, I know. I should paint it to look like a red Ferrari. You think that would
be... Yeah, that would be good.
That's not a bad idea, actually.
Remember in the old days when VW bugs were around, people used to make a hood that you could put on it that looked like a Rolls Royce. So it looked like you were driving around in a 10-foot-long Rolls Royce.
Right.
Is that what happened to your car? Right? The garage door closed too quick.
I don't know.
But it really is a Rolls, trust me.
Well, I mean, it's an interesting question, and I don't feel qualified to answer it, never having been a woman, or at least not until the weekend.
I thought you weren't going to reveal that.
I was.
So did I.
It just slipped out.
Well, now the secret's out. Now what are you going to do?
I like it. I mean, I think we need to get the advice of the target market, as we used to say in the marketing business.
Yeah, we need advice only from women.
Okay.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask our female listeners
to
make recommendations as to what you could do to a minivan to make it more interesting, to make you more interesting to women.
Okay.
Yeah, make the driver of a sexless minivan more interesting to women. So if you're a woman and you have some ideas on how to do this, either write to us or go to our website.
Okay.
So
send it to us.
Stay tuned, and we'll have results for you any day now.
Great.
Thanks, Craig. We'll try to help you, man.
All right, thanks, guys.
We'll do our best. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So now, why is it that we were reluctant to give him advice, and yet when the guy called about the cattle trailer with the electric brakes, we dove right in?
Well, because we thought we knew something about the electric brakes.
No, we said we have never heard of electric brakes.
But we thought we could figure
out.
We
have never seen electric brakes.
But this is a much
We don't know what a cattle trailer is.
These questions of the heart are much more difficult.
We should be experts at this.
Yeah. One of us should be. Yeah.
I should be expert at it.
It's true. You failed again. One
Tom Goodale should be expert at it.
1-888
five wives.
That's eight. I think the other
testimony
four,
that he wasn't expert at it.
The other four would be interested to know that. 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Karen from Gloucester.
Gloucester, Mass, or
yes.
England?
Karen. Yeah. What's up, Karen?
Well, first of all, I just want to comment on Craig's call. Maybe he should take his Sawzall and cut the top off the van and turn it into a convertible.
Oh,
he could do that. So, that's good.
Or he could paint it to look like a motorcycle.
A Harley. You could do that, couldn't you?
You could do anything.
Use the wheels that are there, right?
Right.
And then you could have somebody sitting, picture of himself. Sitting on the seat.
He's all set.
Karen,
okay, we'll shut the website down.
You're a genius.
I am a genius.
That would immediately make you interested.
No, she'd say, what a jerk.
No, it would make me look twice.
Oh, and then
you might say, that guy must be an interesting guy.
That's right.
But if he wasn't good looking.
It doesn't matter.
What's looks got to do with it? Come on. Man of the 21st century, should know that.
That's right.
I mean, would looks make any difference to you if you were trying to choose a woman? Not that you are, because you've already chosen a woman, but looks had nothing to do with it. We all know that. I mean, a bag full of chisels. Oh, man, are we in trouble now?
Well, that's why I'm beginning to become a proponent of the arranged marriage.
Really?
Yes.
And who would do the arranging?
Well, I would do it all. For everybody.
Well, I've arranged all mine.
Yeah, well, you've done a lousy job. So you needed a professional arranger. I think most people don't know how to arrange their own marriages. You know, you have like floral arrangers?
Yeah.
I don't do marriage arranging. Anyway, Karen, what do you want?
Why did you call us?
Well, I have this bold plan to cover a car with beach glass.
Oh, beach glass. Do you know Jerry Orlandella?
I don't.
Well, you ought to meet him.
Okay.
Yeah, he used to work for us, and he covered his car with beach sand.
Little did he know how heavy sand is.
Well, blew out all four tires.
That's kind of my question.
Yeah.
If I do this, my number one concern is this going to be a safety hazard in any way?
What is beach
glass?
Oh, no.
Broken glass? I don't think so. Don't ever give me that idea.
Yeah.
How about razor blades, like standing on edge? Those will glint in the sunlight.
No, what is beach glass?
It's glass that you find on the beach that's been worn down so that it has no sharp edges.
Exactly. It's smooth.
Oh, so
and
it is safe.
It's frosted, too, so there's no glare.
Right, but until you hit somebody and the glass breaks and Well, okay. That's why the sand was such a good idea. Okay.
What, you want to cover the entire car in this stuff?
I do.
Go for it.
Okay.
Yeah, what
all
do
right.
we care?
What
do
you live? Are we done here?
What can the Registry of Motor Vehicles do besides throw you in the Turkish prison for the rest of your life?
You might want to start with a section of the car first.
Okay.
Just to see how it flies.
The interior. Right. Try the interior.
Well, you're going to have to glue the stuff on.
Right, right. And what kind of adhesive would you suggest?
Well, I would call Jerry. I don't know. What did Jerry use?
You could use. I would use Gorilla Glue, probably. It's a urethane glue.
Okay. Is this a brand name?
Mm. Gorilla Glue is a brand name. It's a polyurethane glue, and you can get it. There are other companies that make
it. It usually comes in a half-ounce tube, but you can get the 55-gallon drum.
Oh, yeah. They'll put a pipeline right to your house, but you might want to start in a small area to see if you have the knack for this.
Okay.
But I'd like the idea. So beach glass, huh?
What is the car that you hate so much that you want to cover it up like this?
Well, funny you should ask. I'm kind of in the market for probably a VW Bug.
A new one? No.
Well, could be.
And you're going to cover a new car with beach glass?
Sure.
I don't know what this is. He's
speechless.
He is. He's flummoxed.
I am flummoxed, yeah. I wish you the very best. And next time I'm in Gloucester, Massachusetts, I will look around for you.
See you, Karen.
Oh, thank you very much.
Good luck.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, Tommy, I'm not going to ask you if you remember last week's puzzle. Good. Instead, I'm going to ask you a much easier question.
Yeah.
Compare and contrast the economic policies of King George III and King Louis XV paying special attention to physiocracy as a reaction to 17th century mercantilism.
Does it have to be in pen or pencil?
Start working on it. We'll be back in a minute.
Smokey at the chicken coop, well, he said the road was closed. So I doubled back a mile or two and I took this little turn I know. Top froze over, bundled out, downgrade 10%. Nailed her into boogie and then down that evil road I went. I sing bulldog train, she my ball and chain. Slipping, sliding, skating, gliding, little Liza Chain.
And even though hyenas complain we give laughing a bad name whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly. <you know. laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about what? Cars, car repair, and some interesting mail from you guys, courtesy of my brother.
This is really good. This is from James Horn. We don't know where he's from. Just, you have to visualize this. I went to a junkyard one sunny Saturday morning. Isolated in the middle of the junkyard was a single car with the hood removed, exposing the engine. Along came a large yellow front end loader. It stopped in front of the car, and the driver, let's call him Ted, climbed out of the front end loader. Ted wrapped a heavy chain around the engine and tied the other end of the chain to the bucket, which was positioned above the engine. You got it?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Ted climbs back into the front end loader, raises the bucket, which in turn lifts the car by the engine, so it's now at a 45-degree angle to the ground. Got it?
Got it.
Ted leaves the front end loader, gets an acetylene cutting torch, lights it, walks calmly under the car engine, and using the cutting torch, cuts the motor mounts in a spectacular shower of sparks.
Yes, indeed.
Are you with it now? He's underneath the car, which is being held up by a chain attached to the engine.
Yeah, I can see
how
he's
disconnecting the engine.
I can see how this plays out. It sounds perfectly logical to me.
When the last motor mount is cut, the car comes crashing to the ground.
Around Ted.
Ted is now standing in the engine compartment, and the engine is suspended above him by the chain on the front end loader's bucket.
So the engine is looming above him.
Looming above him. The car fell down, but where was he standing? Right in the engine compartment.
Like the sword of Damocles above his head.
Ted turns off the torch, climbs out of the engine compartment, and drives away in the front end loader with the engine swinging beneath the bucket. Now that's how you remove an engine. Holy cow. Well, I mean, how did he do it the first time? You had to go under there and you say, let's see, if I just stand right here.
you know what it's called? Faith.
It's faith or real utter stupidity.
No, it's faith. And Ted must derive a certain job satisfaction.
Nice going, Ted.
Can I borrow your car today?
No.
If you have any amusing news for my brother or anything that you think might amuse him. Which is just about anything. Send it to him at the following address: Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or, of course, you can email him from cartalk.com. If you have something more pressing, like a car problem, you can call us right now. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, yeah. I'm Joe from Virginia. Blacksburg, Virginia.
Did you say your name was Joe?
Yeah.
So what's up?
I got a little problem.
Yeah.
I got a 88 Ranger with a 2.3 liter engine.
Yeah.
And very strange. It sounds like the lack of oil on a crankshaft. Now, it does not burn oil. Oil light goes off when it's supposed to.
Yeah.
The car always starts properly. When it's cold in the garage at night after 12 hours or so, I crank it up, and man, it starts right off and hums like a hummingbird.
Yeah.
But after about 30 to 45 seconds, I start to hear this little knock. So I open the window and stick my head out and try to figure out where it is.
Yeah.
Mm. I can hear it most loudly at the back of the cab. This is a short bed 88 Ford Ranger.
Yeah.
And between the cab
and the bed, where that split
and
is.
And the bed, yeah. I put my head down near, right near the bottom, and that's where it sounds like it's coming from.
Really?
But when I increase the speed up to 30, 40 miles an hour, it does not change.
The sound doesn't get faster as you go faster?
No, it doesn't. No, that's the strange part of it. It doesn't. This is automatic overdrive.
Joe, this is brutal.
Yeah, I know. Can
you hear this noise if you're not moving?
Sure, he says he hears it in the garage.
No.
When it's in park, I don't hear it. When it's in neutral, I can hear it very slightly.
Well, I thought you said you could hear it in the garage.
He can. You can hear it sometimes when you start the engine without moving, but you will almost always hear it when you're in motion. That true?
Yes, but also I can hear. I've had it in park in the garage and revved it up to 3,000 RPM, and it kind of goes away.
Yeah, I got it.
Kind of goes away.
I got
it.
You want to know what it is?
The mileage.
Yeah.
Joe is dying to know what it is.
I am too.
The mileage is 140,765.
Oh, that cinches it. You have not had any transmission work done on this vehicle since you've owned it?
No, it's been great.
Would you like to have some major transmission work?
Really?
Hey, now you bring.
Well, I think what's wrong with this is one of two things. Either the bolts that hold the torque converter to the flex plate are loose, or the flywheel is cracked.
Ha-ha.
Ha-ha.
Sure.
And that would explain the location of the noise, would explain the irregularity of it, it would explain all of the, it would explain everything.
Oh, my God.
Wait, how does it explain?
Let's not get the
fact that the sound doesn't increase in frequency.
That's the thing I can't figure out
if you go fast enough, you won't get the noise because centrifugal force overrides the loose bolts.
Okay,
but when you're going, especially if the engine is close to idle speed and you rev it up and then let it coast, rev it up, let it go down, you'll get a glung, 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 glung.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, the bolts are loose. Or the flywheel's cracked.
That's how you went to Harvard to get that.
Harvard.
Yeah. did you used to have coffee in Hazen's Diner?
Yeah. Did you go there, Joe?
Yeah.
Oh, you went to Harvard, too?
No, I went through the campus.
So did we. Yeah.
I went to MIT, too.
Did you?
Oh, yeah, walked across to the Charles River.
I went to all of them.
No, but I haven't been to Boston since Lou Perini and John Volpe were putting driveways in Winchester, so it's been quite a while.
It has been. Come up and see us sometime.
I'll do that.
Yeah, we'll take you to Hayes Bickford's for a cup of coffee, if we can find one.
Great. Hey, guys, I never even thought about loose bolts, but I'm going to have them put it up on the list.
Yeah, check it out.
Yeah, tell them to take the inspection cover down, and they're going to find either a crack or some loose bolts, and that's going to fix your problem, Joe.
Beautiful.
See you later, man.
I like it. I think I like it.
I appreciate it very much.
Thanks for calling, Joe.
Bye-bye.
Yep. Bye.
Hey, you know, we had a bet recently, didn't we, Tommy?
Yeah. I remember the bet.
You know, and we're still...
What was her name? Patty? Patty what? Patty something.
Davis.
Patty Davis.
Patty Davis.
Yeah.
Called us from Somerville, Mass.
I remember that call very well.
And she said that her mom was going to try to drive up here from Texas.
Dallas or somewhere.
It didn't make any difference.
Houston.
One of those.
I remember now.
One of those big
cities.
And she
was driving up in an old heap of a Datsun.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a 78 Datsun.
About 13 years newer than your car, or 15 years newer than your car. But she was going to try to drive that thing from Houston to Boston.
And I said, fat chance.
Well, Patty was interested because she was hoping to get the car from Mom.
Mom was going to give her the car.
Right, and you said, don't get your heart set on it. She's probably going to break down in Oklahoma someplace. And I said, don't worry, Patty. She's going to make it with flying colors. And you said, how much do you want to bet?
And then I said,
well, look, for years, I've heard nothing but moaning and groaning about your sleek black beauty, your 65 Rambler. What kind of Rambler was it?
Sleek black beauty Rambler Ambassador 990 convertible. 990.
Right.
Shh, those are some big numbers.
And he claims that I junked his car.
Claims?
With no justification whatsoever, in spite of the mushrooms that were growing in the back seat. And the warnings from the postage from the Board of Health and all that. Those things didn't matter. I junked his car with no provocation or justification whatsoever. And my brother has been upset and angry at me ever since. And every time I see him, he says, where's my car? I want a new car.
Well, I mean,
and the bet is,
tell him what you did to it. I mean, you sent it to the crusher. The crusher. I mean, really now, the crusher?
But I went and
watched. You could have called me up and said, your car is in the way. Can you move the car?
I did.
It's like if you park in somebody's driveway, he sends the crusher. Send the tow truck, man, not the crusher.
I wanted you to know my intentions were serious. I wasn't playing around here, boy.
It's sort of irrevocable, you know?
Yeah. No, I considered calling you and telling you that it was going to the crusher and if you wanted to bid it.
But I wasn't home.
I didn't think you wanted to be there, but I went and watched it. You know,
you did, huh?
I did. It was moving.
I'm glad.
It was moving. But anyway, I've been sick of hearing about this, so I decided I wanted to end this once and for all. And I have bet my brother that if she makes it,
if Patty's mother makes it from Houston
to Boston
without breaking down,
then I will never ever have
I
to
believe,
hear.
Let's get it straight. Now she was going to get here without breaking down. We left out if she had to stop for gas, change the oil.
Yeah, and
fine.
we also had a
flat tire.
Right, that didn't count.
But anything else, mechanical malfunctions of any kind.
Did we stipulate it would have to require a tow? Would that be a fair stipulation?
Not necessarily. No.
Or assistant, roadside assistant.
If she didn't make it, if she broke down.
Well, no, but you can always make it.
That's what I mean. If she didn't make it without breaking down. Breaking down means the car doesn't go anymore, and you need assistance. It requires assistance that she couldn't supply herself. Right?
Okay.
Right.
So if she makes it, I will never hear another word about the sleek black beauty. Is that true?
Not from my lips.
You grooming Alex for this?
You will not hear it from my lips. I am true to my word.
And
on the other hand,
yeah,
if she doesn't make it, if she breaks down
and doesn't make it, what is my punishment, old
the
Lord?
The punishment is that you will go to the ends of the earth and you will find me a sleek black beauty 990 Ambassador convertible, and you will make a gift of it. To me.
What a stupid bet this
and it's
is.
It's going to be in better condition than the one you crushed.
We're hoping to hear from Patty or her mother or somebody any minute.
What do you mean any minute?
Could be today. It could be next week. I mean, we don't know. I mean, she left weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, the very fact that she's not here means that she must have broken down.
She's taking her time. She took the scenic route.
Well, I mean, she's driving 10 miles a day. I suppose that's valid. If she decided to drive 10 miles a day, that would be legit. But that would mean that you paid her off. You wouldn't do that to your brother.
Of course not. Of course not. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Chelsea calling from Oakland.
So what's up, Chelsea?
Well, I've got my dream car is having a little bit of a problem. I have a 49 Chevy pickup.
No kidding.
No, I'm not. Yeah. I have a very patient husband. And I swapped out the carburetor, and it ran great for about a week. And then it began to die if I let up on the accelerator at all.
What did you do to the carburetor?
Swapped out.
Oh, you swapped it out.
So I thought you said swapped out.
It actually makes me sound like I know what I'm doing.
So you were the swappee.
I was the swapper.
A swapper, rather.
Yeah.
The carburetor was the swappee. Where'd you get the swappee?
I got it out of a catalog that deals exclusively in 1940s Chevys.
Oh, okay. So you bought a rebuilt one.
A rebuilt one.
Yeah, yeah.
Got it. Okay.
So you put this carburetor in.
Yeah, and it ran like a dream. I couldn't believe I'd actually done it right.
For how long?
About a week.
It's not bad.
I was pretty happy.
How much was the carburetor?
$250 bucks.
About $150 bucks.
Those carburetors used to cost $9.
Well, that was 1949.
And for another $11, they gave you the whole truck.
A loaf of bread was only 7 cents then.
And you did nothing else besides put the carburetor in?
No, that's all I did. I hooked it up exactly as it had been hooked up, and it just started right up, and I couldn't believe it.
And why did you want to replace the carburetor in the first place? What was wrong with the old one?
It just hadn't been running well, but the original owner who sold it to me told me that it needed one.
How long have you had it, the
truck?
About
4 years.
49.
And now is it running as badly as it did with the old carburetor?
No, it's still running better, but it dies if I let up on the accelerator. And so I took the oil bath filter off, started it up, and gas is just pouring out of the carburetor.
Yeah, just as I thought. Here's what happened.
Huh?
You got a bad rebuild.
Oh, I did.
You did. You need to call them up and have them send you another one. These carburetors have a brass float. No, there's a float in the carburetor that controls how much gasoline is in the float bowl.
She wasn't being no good.
And there's a pinhole in it.
It works just like the float in your toilet bowl.
Okay.
And well, toilets don't have those kinds of...
No.
Toilets have gone high tech.
They have. Well, they're fuel injected.
You remember the old days when you could lift the cover off the tank and there would be this rod with a ball on the end of it?
My toilet still has that.
And back in the old days, those balls, in fact, on toilets used to be made out of copper or brass.
Yeah, I remember.
And they were
just like inside that carburetor of yours.
In fact, that's where they got the idea for the carburetors. And in fact, when the thing, as the level rose, the ball would float to the top, and it would shut off the valve, the little metering valve there.
That allows gasoline to come into that float bowl.
And you would use the gasoline as the carburetor needed it, depending upon your speed. But your float has got a little hole in it.
So it sinks.
It's sinking.
And when it sinks, the valve stays open all the time, so the thing is constantly being flooded. I'm surprised that
exactly
you don't see
right.
black smoke coming out the
now,
back.
Now, when you say there's gas pouring out of, you can see, actually look in the top of the carburetor and see extra gas pouring in.
Yeah, it seems to be just running out everywhere. In fact, mostly coming from the seam where there's a gasket.
Yeah. Exactly. That's it, exactly.
Yeah, okay. I would call them up and tell them to put another one in the mail.
Okay.
So what do you do for fun?
She drives a truck.
Why are you driving a 40? I mean, I know it's kind of cool, but these really drive like trucks.
They really do. I love it.
Oh.
I mean, I'm up high. What I do for fun is I'm a budding welder, and I live in a real industrial area, which is why I need my truck so badly. I got to drive around looking for scrap metal and
things
like that.
Are you an artist welder?
Yeah, I'm an artist welder. Yeah.
Cool.
I'm just starting out.
Is the truck red?
No.
No.
It's bright blue.
Really?
Oh, good paint job?
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful. I got it from the original owner, and he even after I'd paid for it, he couldn't let go of the truck.
Was he hanging onto the bumper as you drove away?
Yeah, he was crying. It was the saddest thing.
Oh.
Was he the original owner?
That's what I believe,
he bought it new in 1949?
That's what I think.
No kidding.
Boy, his butt must be killing him.
Well, that's
great. I don't know, but I know mine is.
Oh, yeah. Well, enjoy it. Get yourself another carburetor, and you'll be back in traffic in a couple of days.
Oh, I'm so glad. That's bad news for Oakland, but good news for me.
See you, Chelsea.
Good luck.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, look, we have to pause right now and take a break.
Oh, station identification?
No, station underwritification. We'll be right back in a minute.
You got the car and I got the brake. I've had as much as I can take. My heart can't handle anymore. And all the king's horses and all the king's men, they couldn't put me back.
And even though mayors in at least two villages look up and say, "Are we missing our idiot?" whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the no-new Puzzler. The Puzzler is taking its annual summer hiatus. And we know that while most of you are saying, "Thank God," there are a few misfits out there who can't seem to go a week without a Car Talk Puzzler. And for them, we have what?
Shock therapy!
And our weekly archival puzzler at our website, cartalk.com. So if you need a puzzle, go there. In the meantime, if you'd like to call us about anything, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Patty from Somerville.
Oh! The Patty?
The Patty.
Patty, whose mother...
Oh, Patty!
Patty, whose mother lives in Houston?
Well, she lives in Norway, but...
And Norway. Oh, that's right. I forgot about the Norway connection.
Your mother's name is Jackie.
Yes!
I remember that. And Jackie was the one who was going to try to make this trip from Houston to Boston.
We just discussed you moments ago.
To give you this car, and then my brother and I had this bet that I said she was going to make it with flying colors. He said she was going to break down within 20 miles of Houston.
That's right.
Was it a 78 Datsun?
Yes.
My recollection was correct.
Yes, excellent.
Excellent.
Yes, I know. In fact, I even have her home at... never mind.
That's when you sent the checks. All right.
Well, she made it.
Oh, my.
Ha, ha. Ha. Ha, ha, ha.
Wait a minute now. Let's get it straight here. When you say she made it,
yes.
I mean, where did she fly from?
No, she made it, huh?
Wait a minute. If she took a plane from, like, New Orleans,
nope,
that doesn't quite count.
Nope. She stopped in New Orleans, and her friends in New Orleans who put some oil in for her left the oil cap off, so she did have to stop in, like, Nowheresville, Arkansas, and buy an oil cap, but she kept right on going.
But she made it all the way, basically, without a breakdown?
No breakdown. It was during the heat wave, so sometimes she would stop at midday and hang out at a rest stop or a national park for a couple hours.
Oh, Jackie, I love you. I love you.
Patty.
No, Jackie's the mother. She's the one that did the driving.
She made it.
Patty, this is the saddest moment of my life. This means I can never again...
You can't even mention the year 1965,
castigate
right?
my brother for that car that I can't mention.
I never want to hear it again.
I remember.
What a woman. Wait, what a woman.
Did he pay you?
Did she have to use the $2,000 I sent her?
No.
She didn't. Can I get any portion of it back?
She honestly made it. How long did it take her?
She took her time. She stayed in New Orleans for a couple of days.
3 months, right?
Took her about 3 days from New Orleans. She took her time. She stopped for 2 or 3 hours in the day.
She really made it without breaking down?
No breakdown. She had to buy an oil cap because her silly friend left the oil cap off, and she did stop midday just so the car wouldn't overheat.
I can't tell you how effervescent, how
saddest day
light of spirit I feel. I mean, I can't believe that she made it. I mean,
you can't believe it either.
Deep down inside...
You worried.
I was worried. I was worried sick. I was turning over at night, waking up, sleepwalking, doing everything because I was afraid that she wouldn't make it, and then I'd have to buy him this stupid car.
Right. Shit. Yeah, I'm driving it to work in Roxbury every day now.
Oh, that's right, because she was going to give you the car.
Yeah, she went back to Norway. She's in Norway now?
She is back in Norway.
I want to talk to her.
I want to have her knighted. What do they do to women? No, you don't knight women. What do you do to women?
You dame them.
Dame them. I want
dame Jackie.
My God. All right, Patty.
And tell your mother I am deeply indebted to her. Whatever she wants, any wish.
Well, yeah. We'll be sending you a bill.
Oh, I was afraid of that. It'll be well worth it.
I wish I could say it was nice talking to you, but it hasn't
been. Great talking to you, Patty.
Great talking to you.
Thanks for your call.
No problem.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow. Can you believe it?
I'm disappointed.
Well, it cost me $1,000 too.
I'm horribly disappointed.
Aren't you? You look disappointed.
I am. I'm
crestfallen, one might say.
I fell on my crest.
Jeez, I tell you, this is a great day.
I can never mention.
You are not allowed to mention the following three words in sequence: sleek, black, and beauty.
All right.
I, of course, can say them.
Yeah.
Right. And, of course, it's obvious that you cannot say.
Can I say?
No.
Sleek,
no.
Beauty, black?
No. No.
Black, beauty, sleek?
No. No order is allowed. Boy.
I can't believe it. I'll be a man. I'll take it.
Great.
I won't say anything.
Okay. Don't whimper. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Aaron in St. Paul.
With two A's?
One A.
Just like Elvis.
Exactly. God, I'm talking to a scholar.
Well, okay, we'll be able to tell him anything.
Well, you were probably named after Elvis.
No, I was named after my grandfather who had two A's, and almost every other Aaron in the world has two A's except me and a few others, and you're right, Elvis's middle name.
Yeah,
right.
The king.
Well, they probably misspelled it. But anyway, so how did you lose an A?
You know, all I was told is that when I was born, my older sister, who was quite precocious, told my parents that Aaron with two A's was not unusual enough.
Three A's would have been.
There you go.
That would have been
the
thing.
Yeah, one or three.
There you go.
Anyway, what's up, man?
I have a 93 Nissan Maxima, and it makes a strange sound when I take off in the morning. The best way I can describe it is a scene from a Three Stooges movie where the three of them are sleeping in the same bed. I don't know if you remember that. But Moe goes, and Larry goes, woo, and Curly goes, woo, 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 woo.
Remember it.
You remember that?
We got that picture hanging right on the wall.
All right. My car is Larry. My car goes, woo, when I turn it on after it's been cold all night and start taking off, and I think maybe steering, maybe brakes, but I don't know.
Okay, so let's get it exactly when this. You get in the car in the morning.
Yeah.
You turn the key and you start it.
Right, then it's fine.
Nothing's happened yet.
Nothing. I step on the gas and I'm turning the car a little bit because I'm going down a long driveway and I'm avoiding potholes.
Automatic transmission?
No, I have a 5-speed.
5-speed. So you're in first gear.
In first.
And you're driving straight ahead.
Right, but okay. It seems like it's when I turn it a little bit that I get the woo.
Yeah.
Just one time.
Usually one, but lately it's been repetitive, 1, 2, or 3. So it seems like it's getting worse. And once in a while
it doesn't happen. So it's woo, woo, woo?
No, it goes woo, and then maybe a few seconds will go by, and then I get another woo.
Oh, you woke up the under-the-hood owl when you started the engine.
That could be. Huh? But I think if I went to a garage, they'd laugh me out of the place.
Well, I don't think I'd be too worried until I started hearing the woo, 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 woo.
All right.
But I think you have an early warning sign of an imminent power steering pump failure.
Okay.
Now, it could be that you're just low on power steering fluid.
Well, let me just, it never happens later in the day?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, I'm going to suggest.
Even when you come out of work at night?
It could.
Do you go to work?
I do go to work, and if it sat for a long time, it might do that, but it's most prominent in the morning. I don't know why that is.
If he ever stayed a whole day at work, he might find out. But here's what you should do in the meantime.
Yeah.
Pop the hood and check the power steering reservoir.
Okay.
Make sure it's full. If it's full, don't worry about it. And if it gets worse, I mean, it could even be the belt or the tensioner. And those things can tend to make noise when the engine has been sitting for a long period of time if they have a bad bearing. But
it'll get worse.
It'll get worse and let you know that something has to be done.
Okay. But it's not a safety problem.
It doesn't sound like it.
Okay.
Good luck, Aaron.
Thanks a lot.
See you later.
See ya.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, who's this?
This is Elizabeth from Los Angeles.
Hi, Elizabeth. Our sainted mother is named Elizabeth.
Oh, that's good to hear.
It's a great name, isn't it? Actually,
yeah.
We don't really know what her name is. We've known her for almost our entire lives, and she has been giving us different names.
Well, recently she divulged to us that her given name...
For 100 years, her name was Elizabeth. The
right.
first 100
In fact,
years.
Her own siblings called her what? Liz.
Liz, sure.
And she divulges to us one day that her name is really Elisa.
Yeah. Aha.
And we said, where did that come from?
And she said, it's on my birth certificate.
Right.
She claims.
She claims. We've never seen her birth certificate because she was born before they issued birth certificates. Yeah. Right.
So,
when the Phoenicians were still using cuneiform writing.
So we don't really know what her name is.
We don't. But to us, she's what? Ma.
She's Ma. Okay.
Ma. Yeah.
So we'll call you Ma. So what's going on, Liz?
Well, I have an 88 Audi 5000.
Yeah.
And I have blown off four alternator belts, or actually 3.5 alternator belts. I'm about to lose the fourth in as many months.
Mm.
Really?
Yeah.
So when these alternator belts go, where do they go?
I don't know. They just disappear. I can smell them burning over after they'll put one in, and it'll be fine for 2 weeks, and then I can start to smell it burning.
Ah.
And I've gone to two different mechanics.
And what have they done?
Well, the first one used to be my regular mechanic, and he actually replaced the alternator itself, put rebuilds in on two separate occasions, and it was after the second rebuild that I began having the problem.
Wait a minute now. Why did he replace the alternator?
The first time it blew out, and the second time it got flooded with oil.
Oh, and since he replaced the alternator, that's when you've been having the problem.
Yes.
So you got rid of him, figuring that he was
him.
A dope. Now, you've taken it to these other guys, and what did they offer for an explanation?
Well, he couldn't offer an explanation. First, he thought it might be the wrong belt, and then he thought that maybe it was the pulleys weren't adjusted properly, and he banged things around, and he moved things around, and it was okay, and then I lost it again, and then I brought it back to him.
Did you tell this current mechanic about the alternator replacements?
Yes, I did, and he actually pointed out I had been charged prior to this. My first mechanic had charged me for a Bosch rebuild, and what he showed me was the cheapo $60 rebuild.
Well, here's what happened. He put the Bosch in the first time when you came back to have it replaced. They didn't have another Bosch because those are handcrafted in the Himalayas. And they have to wait for the monks to come down from the mountains.
Yeah.
They
only come down occasionally because they're up there getting
right.
nirvana'd.
And as you might expect, they're not coming down with Audi alternators all the time. I mean, they have a lot of other makes and models to serve, you know, so they'd have to wait a long time.
Is this like the Benedictine monks that do the brandy?
Exactly.
There's the Bosch monks
who
do alternators.
Yes, yes.
Never knew that.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Wow. In the Himalayas.
These are German-speaking Tibetan monks. Anyway, here they are. So what happened was the first guy, he should have given you money back because he put in an inferior one. And the second guy pointed it out because he hopes to ingratiate himself, obviously, and denigrate the, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You don't understand.
Yes.
On the other hand, he hasn't figured out what the problem
but
is.
But he didn't figure it out.
He diddles around adjusting the belt, and that's not going to get you very far.
What's wrong, I believe, is that the pulleys are not in the same plane. There's an alternator pulley, and then there's a pulley on the crankshaft. And I believe on this car, the alternator is the only thing that runs on that belt.
Mm-hmm.
And if you stand to the side and look at those pulleys, they ain't lined up. One is in front of the other.
Right.
So what's happening is the belt is getting chafed because the belt is supposed to run in that groove, and it isn't running in that groove because it's getting worn out because it's being forced to one side of the pulley or another.
Aha.
And what happens is the belt starts to get cooked, and then it disappears. It gets blown off, and it winds up out on with the Oort cloud.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. And tell your guy that the pulleys are not in the same plane.
Okay.
That's what's wrong. They're in parallel planes, which ain't good enough.
Okay.
You got I can tell you have the picture.
It's like the parallel universe.
So you have a right to go back to the first guy and make him fix it, even if he has to buy an alternator from...
Well, it's pretty hard to show up all of a sudden on his doorstep after having spurned him the way she did.
No, she didn't spurn him. All he knows is that you haven't come back. And believe me, he's been lighting candles hoping you wouldn't come back.
Yeah.
So the fact is that you have every right to go back at this point. He doesn't know you have five other belts replaced on this thing.
Or that you've been seeing other mechanics. He doesn't know that. You're right.
He doesn't need to know that.
He doesn't need to know that.
You are within the letter of the law here.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can go back to him and say, I found out from somebody what I think is going on, and you can verify this yourself by looking at it. And have the other guys look at it.
But don't drop the business of the three belts. I mean, he'll know. Unless you tell him you're out of town.
Exactly.
That's it. You're out of town.
Right.
And while you're out of town, three belts got fried. And we think it's the alternator. Could you please check it, Murray?
And if he has to. And then you should point out to him that somebody at one of these gas stations in, like, Vancouver pointed out to you that you didn't have a Bosch alternator in there. And you say, yeah. Oh, my God, I paid for a Bosch alternator. And then he'll have to go to Audi and get you the real McCoy with the right pulley, and everything will be fixed.
Well, I hope he doesn't listen to the show.
No, nobody listens. Yeah.
Well, thank you. I'll try to get
good
that
luck,
done
Elizabeth.
Weekend.
Good
thank
luck.
You.
See you, Elizabeth. Bye-bye.
The mechanic may have gone to Tibet. Maybe he wants
to pick
to
it up
lure
himself.
It.
That whenever I hire a contractor, they always go to like the manufacturer. They say, look, we need some plywood. Now, Weyerhaeuser Corporation is out in the West Coast.
Yeah.
Right? I'm going to Seattle to
sure
pick up the plywood.
I'll pick up
some
4x8s.
I could buy it at Home Depot, but no, they charge extra.
Well, he may be at the alternator ashram.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy, Frogman Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher-Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman-Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from his triumph at the 10th annual Tampa T-Bone and T-Biscuit Tourney, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marjan Overa. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our director of roadway resurfacing is Sylvia Potholy. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by staff librarian Albin Heard before. The receptionist at our Bombay office is Vishnu Hednikam. Our staff disciplinarian is, oh no, our mortgage loan consultant is Nora Lenderby. And our solicitor of new ideas is Obi Quiet. Our director of customer rebates is Noah. Oh, no. Our sexual harassment investigator is Hank Pankey. Our director of Three Stooges Studies is Lee Iacocca. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Outavindo. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the teenage werewolves skulking behind their parents in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1431, discover classic Car Talk episodes, and check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com, where you can learn about an easy way to get rid of your old car while helping your favorite radio station.
Great timing. I always get rid of my old cars in the summer.
And why is that, pray tell?
Well, you ever tried driving a car into a frozen river? It's not easy to do that.
Support your local NPR station and get a tax deduction with the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program. Info is available all week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR Boston.
And even though the NPR doorman mutters something about the doorknob and the way out every time he hears us say it, this is NPR.